So this is Urban Rest Stop, and there's only one like it in the entire city. People can come in here, families, singles, guys with children, women with teenagers, where they can get a shower. They can come in together. There's places where they can do their wash, obviously, here right behind us. They can get a shower. The guys can go in and shave, you know. And there's toilets that are available for people during the day. And, you know, we've got so many people that are out here on our streets that just don't have a place. Right now, 3,123 people during the one-night count. And if we don't have a place for people to use the bathroom, if we don't have a place for people to wash their clothes, to get a shower themselves, I mean, it's a real public health issue. And not to say the dignity of a human being having a place where they can go. So that's why it's important. And it's important as one element of a lot of other things we need to do to make our city a safe and welcoming place.
So what's the larger strategy of dealing with... I mean, I saw, you know, Murray had... It seemed like he was focusing on rapid rehousing, for example. Is that the central part of Seattle's?
Well, I think that's one element that we really need to focus on, because what we know is that people need to get housing first. I mean, just imagine trying to go to a job, trying to go to school, trying to get your kid off to school. And if you don't have a solid home from where to do that, I mean, everything is just so much harder and so much more difficult. So getting people into housing is no question the most important thing we can do, whether you're having a financial crisis at the time or whether you're having an addiction or mental health crisis. We know that you need a safe place to be. That said, it's very costly. It takes a long time. And right now we have a huge wait list for people to get into our public housing and into Seattle Housing Authority, as you know. I mean, thousands of people want to get into these houses. So we've got to do the best we can for temporary. And we've got some great organizations that are helping with the temporary and emergency housing. We simply need more of it.
I know a lot of the organizations that you're partnering with to fulfill some of these services are faith-based organizations. Is the Seattle sort of, dumping some of its ability to help house people on the faith community?
Right. No, we're trying very hard, and especially when you use the verb to dump, we appreciate that nobody, no one organization, no one sector is going to be responsible for this. It's bringing all of us together. And whether it's faith-based, whether it's nonprofit, whether it's government, whether it's private sector, all of us have to be doing more to make this a place where people want to live. But it's not just up to the city. You know, what I've been talking about with our county colleagues as well is that there's 30 plus cities in King County. Everybody has to do its share. And what I was promoting last year is, let's frankly divide it up and look at it by population. The city of Seattle is just a third of the population of King County. So if really from a standpoint of what can we do better, if every city of even part of the county that is unincorporated said, look, we're going to take our share by population, then we can start taking little bites at this apple. And we're learning from other cities as well. We're not trying to take on full responsibility for a regional and national problem. We want to do our share, learn from others, do the best we can, and then provide a model to others as well.
What are the cities that you're looking at most closely?
Well, I'm excited about some of the things that Portland is doing. Eugene is doing some great things with their car camping, where they actually are working with their St. Vincent de Paul, so people can come in their campers and their cars but have access to showers inside those facilities. I mean, that's just one example, but it's something we're starting to do. We just want to do more of it.
I've seen some other comparisons to Salt Lake City recently in the San Francisco Gate.
Yeah, Salt Lake City, as I understand it, has just opened up another location for tiny houses. And Portland is doing that, too. I talked with the mayor's office in Portland, and they've found a parcel of property that is government-owned and then allowing private and nonprofit partners to build tiny houses, you know, like 150 square feet. And you can imagine that would be, you know, a solution for maybe up to 30 people at a time. A good solution temporarily and perhaps permanently, but everything takes some time. It also costs some money. So we need to be doing all of this simultaneously. Temporary housing, working with our faith-based partners, help the faith-based institutions say, we will bring in a few people that is consistent with the size of our church. Some people are church or synagogue. Some people are not interested in doing tent city with 100 people, but they are willing to take in 10. And so we've set aside some money this year in our budget so that the organizations, nonprofit or faith-based, can say, we'll take a number and we'll be able to pay for those services.
How much do we spend every year in Seattle on helping people out of homelessness?
We've got a $35 million budget, and that includes $35 million just for housing and food and emergency services. That's a lot of money. And some people have said, well, we're not really being as effective as we would like to be. So our new interim director, John Okamoto, has been tasked by the mayor to really look at those contracts. What are people doing? What are we getting? Are people moving up and on? And that is my goal, is make sure that people are healthy, that they have the training that they need, that they have the space they need, that they can work, to help them find jobs so that they can take care of themselves in a very respectful way.
Okay, so that's $35 million a year, approximately 3,000 people on the streets, right?
Well, so those are people that are what we call sleeping rough, or that they don't have a permanent place to be. The one-night count last January was 3,123 people, but that was countywide. The bulk of them were found in Seattle, but countywide there was that large number. We know that, you know, there are a lot of folks that say, well, that number's not real for one reason or another, but we also know there are people that we can't find because they don't want to be found. And a lot of families are telling us, we would rather stay together and sleep outside than be forced to be divided up. And that's what happens in emergency shelter. Women can't be with men. You know, they separate the men, they separate the women. And if you've a family with a child, you know, I wouldn't want my family split up. I'd do everything I could to keep them together.
So what's the next step? You didn't get all the money you wanted this, but...
But we got well over $1 million more, and that money has not been earmarked for specific actions. So part of what I'm excited about is that we're asking our partners to tell us, what do they need? What will they be willing to do, and how much will it cost? And so the money will be leveraged. It's not going to be simply restricted to one group or to some contract.
Okay.
So I think we've got some enthusiasm around this.
So you know there's $200,000 going to this place specifically, but not but the rest of the money, you're still going to figure out how to spend it.
Right, exactly. Well, $200,000 more here keeps us with a huge number of showers. I mean, the numbers are really quite impressive. 7,312 loads of laundry last year, 14,000 showers, you know, and 28,151 flushes. So imagine that's not happening outside in somebody's doorway.
All right, I really appreciate your time. Anything else critical that we missed on this?
Good. Well, I really appreciate your coming down.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, thank you.
Take care.